Maybe. So, Sebsy Turkamp, beers from Gadget Detective, comes on every fortnight. And you know when I'm on a phone, you know my mood, and you don't answer when I phone you.
You haven't ringed me. Oh, no. You mean just now?
Yeah.
Well, just ring my mobile, it'll be fine.
Yes, so cool. And look, I've got lots of things. I was triggered this week. I've got three quick things, right? And they all might be the same thing for you, so you deal with them however you like. The first one was, listen, I'm totally into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and now I'm conflicted. I saw a story about over 1,000 graphic designers, artists and the like being laid off because AI can do what they're doing much quicker, easier and cheaper. And I'm like, hold on a minute. These guys have created all these wonderful images. And you, if you like me, you'll know that it was Wesley Snipes and Blade that kind of kept the whole thing running. And now it's this multi-billion pound industry. It's laying off some of the fundamentals. And the next story I read, there was that, and I knew I probably needed to understand it better than I do, Elon Musk losing a case in regards to AI. And that was the second story that I read. Let's just go with those two. What is that the direction of travel, that the jobs market will be very, very different and there will be winners, but there'll be quite a lot of losers too?
Yeah, so it used to be the case that I used to be asked, you know, which jobs are going to go. Now it's more a question of in what order are they going to go, which ones are going to go first. Initially, what you find is that the technology is being used to make individuals more capable and so that one person can do the job of many. But even then, of course, that means if you can do the job of eight people, then that's seven people without a job.
So, Febsy, just bear with me.
There'll be the eighth person.
I'll go to Thailand. Somebody open the door for me when I get in there. If I go into the petrol station, they go back to the old days that you and I remember where somebody would put the petrol in your car. There'd be somebody to fold it, somebody to do it. And I understand all of it. And it keeps a production line. It means everybody gets paid a little less. But it keeps ambition going. It keeps a production line going. And it feels like that's being circumnavigated. Am I being all wholesome and purist? And you just, people like you just laugh at me. Wasn't there a big battle in Hollywood about some actors? And once you do a film, that your whole life, your whole rights, your whole imagery is taken away. Wasn't there a big battle over that?
Yeah, so this was where it's effectively possible to sample, for example, someone's voice or their likeness and then recreate it. So someone does one voiceover job for you and then you've captured their voice, and the law doesn't really know how to deal with that at the moment. So that was a big fight, that people wanted to be paid or they wanted it to be limited in terms of what they were actually sharing. So if you do one voiceover job, you're not giving the rights to your voice away in perpetuity for a variety of jobs. This happened to the gentleman that was the first voice of Siri, actually, years and years ago, a voiceover artist, also a radio broadcaster, used to work on commercial radio. He did a job where he was just asked to record some phonemes, you know, for the parts of words like syllables almost. And he recorded a set of phonemes. He has a very distinctive voice. And years later, Apple bought the rights to use the phonemes and used it for Siri. And years after he did the job, and the job was nothing to do with Apple or Siri at the time, he suddenly found that he was the voice of UK male Siri. And actually still in there. It's quite remarkable because I know this gentleman and I hear a sort of slightly uncanny valley version of his voice. You know, it's like I know it's him, but it's not quite him. It's very strange. But yes, this is the way it's all going.
It feels a bit like your voice today.
What, the uncanny valley? Yeah. Well, you've been talking to you an AI for the last 6 months and you haven't twigged yet. So.
Listen, I was triggered by it. You're taking my feelings and taking the mickey out of me. I'm like, hold on a minute. I'm invested in this. I don't want these people to lose their jobs, though. Like, you're making enough. It's me being all puritanical. You're making enough money. I mean, you make £1 billion a movie. Give somebody a flaming job.
Yeah. So what they want is they want actors that they don't have to pay, who won't get old, who aren't difficult, who are available, will say and do anything that you want, and that's what they're creating.
You lost me at the first one. just like, no chance for me then. No chance for me to care anything. And the Elon Musk thing, why is that important?
So this is one of those cases where Elon Musk is right for the wrong reasons. So Elon Musk was one of the founders of OpenAI, and OpenAI's name, as you may gather from the name, although it's now history, was designed to be the canary in the coal mine. It was meant to develop AI in the open so that as major developments came down the line, that governments could see what was happening, how it was happening, understand it and regulate it. But what happened was when OpenAI released ChatGPT, it realized it could make billions and billions and billions of dollars. But it was a non-profit, right? It was not meant to be able, I mean, that's not to say they couldn't pay their staff a lot, including Sam Altman, but it was a non-profit. And this was the issue that got Sam Altman ousted as the CEO of OpenAI, and then brought back in shortly after. He was the subject of being kicked out by the board, and then he came back and sacked the board.
It makes sense now, because from Elon's point of view, the judge ruled that he was right, but he took too long to come forward.
Yeah, so he lost on technical grounds. He didn't lose on the merits that this organization, OpenAI, was set up to be a non-profit, and suddenly it's becoming a profit. It's becoming one of the biggest companies in the world. It's dwarfing, traditional mega companies.
Yeah. Why is that important? I mean, this is what's going to be on my sheet when you get off here. Why is this story that you two anoraks are talking about important to the listeners of BBC Radio London?
The reason why it's important is because there's a handful of these companies. They're known as frontier model AI companies. Okay, so you've got a handful of them. People like Anthropic, OpenAI, Google. There's just a handful of them, and I don't think there's any time in history where so much power,
all right,
economic power, social power, has been concentrated in so few hands. And you know, Elon Musk is one of those. He has his own Grok AI system. These are products that are not well understood, hugely powerful, very dangerous. If this was a drugs company, they'd be forced to prove their products are safe. Here, they're just allowed to spit them out on a daily basis without any of that. It's extremely dangerous what's being produced. I mean, all joking aside, and you know, I've been joking for years about our dark overlords and all of this, but this is a dangerous technology that we don't understand, and on the current trajectory we'll lose control of in the not too distant future. That's not good for humans, not just in terms of jobs, but existentially.
Yeah,
that's why it's important.
I knew it was important, and I didn't quite understand why. And I appreciate you giving us that. Right, let's get two in before 30, and then we'll do one very quickly after we've had a chat with Billy. Where do we start today, Fizzy?
No problem. Okay, two products from Fio. So Fio are an audiophile brand. They're known by people who love their audio. They're a well-known brand. It's spelled F-I-I-O, strangely. And the product that I took a look at and was quite surprised by is called the DM15. It's a portable CD player, costs £249, which in audiophile terms is actually quite cheap. The thing about this player, which is quite unique, is it uses what's called an R2R DAC. Let me explain. It's a CD player. Information on CDs, as with other digital media, is stored as numbers. We can't listen to numbers, so there is a circuit in the device that converts the numbers into a sound that we can listen to. One of the criticisms of CDs since they were launched and still now is that the sound, although it's very accurate, is rather brittle. It's not really a warm sound. This is why there's been a resurgence of vinyl, which has a certain warmth and depth to it that CD traditionally cannot replicate. These R2R DACs are amazing because they actually give a certain warmth and analog feel to CDs and, in fact, any other digital source that you plug into it. So you can plug this into a Windows PC or a Mac or any other device with a USB output, and it will do the same magic on that. So it's not just doing it to CD. It really surprised me because it gives a warmth. It's not the same as vinyl, but it's not as fatiguing as listening to sort of brittle CD sound, you know, and it's got a smoothness to it, which is just reassuring. If you stick an oscilloscope on it, it's not pure. It's not, you know, it wouldn't pass those signal to noise ratio tests and all the rest of it, but just listening to it is quite a remarkable thing. Now, these R2R DACs, which means resistor to resistor, in the past, it would have cost about $5,000 to build one of these. They've managed to put it into a device that retails for £249, which is quite remarkable. And they're kind of flexing. I mean, this is a Chinese company, I believe, and they've just got the know-how to do this because it involves having 48 resistors that are closely matched and balanced in a way that's actually very difficult to achieve. And they've put it in a portable device. This thing, think of the old Sony Discman, but instead of thinking of something that's sort of plastic and brittle, this thing is made of metal. It's an aluminium device with a very nice a sharp display on it. Very nice features on it. So, for example, so it's got that DAC. As I say, you can plug it into computers and so forth. I've even been putting my voice through it, which makes it nice and sort of warm and weighty, which I actually really liked that as well. So you can almost think of it like an effects unit as well. Also, you can plug in a USB-C thumb drive into it and rip the CD. So you can make a digital copy of the CD without having a computer. You know, you can just do it on the fly. You just literally pop it in, and as it plays, it will make a digital recording of it, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah, I was going to say, what stars do we give this one?
We give this one 4.5 stars out of 5. Okay. I was going to give it 4.75. The only reason I didn't, the buttons are rather small.
Okay, so let me just say, Fevzi has never given anything 5. 4.5 up until now has been his equivalent of 5. Yeah. So 4.75. I mean, I really do want to get into a conversation. This was in my first ever Mac. It used to have a CD drive and stuff, and then I took it out and filled it with memory. And lots of people will remember this. It's the quality that I think you'll buy, but we can't do that. I've got to fit one more in before we'll have to do that one. Privately, one more in before, and they're going to the same people again, are we?
Yeah, so this, because I use these to test that. So I tested a Fio EH11. It's retro Bluetooth on-ear headphones. Why are they retro? Think of the old Sony Walkman headphones from early 80s, you know, yes, with the yellow, with the orange foam and the over-the-head design and so forth. It looks like one of those, but it's packed with up-to-date technology. So it's got Bluetooth 6. It supports a codec called LDAC, which means although it's a compressed codec, it's very high quality. The drivers, the little speakers that are built into it, are 4 centimeters wide, so you've got a proper bass response from them. Because it's Bluetooth 6 and for other reasons, it will give you 30 hours of battery life per charge. It's comfortable. It weighs about 92 grams. It's just a really nice, warm listening experience. And although it's not expensive, it's
literally... Yeah, but that's what I looked at and thought, what has happened to me? I've become a snob. You know, I've broken my X5 things, right? The handle on that, and I wear it now with one of them swinging on just the wire. Yes. Right? So I need to ask you how I repair them, if it's worth going back to Sony. But this is $32.99.
Yeah. So this is an audiophile brand, Fio, which has delved into the 30 sort of pound market and made something that isn't rubbish, which is quite, and it's a long way from rubbish, you know. It's actually good.
Is it something I could wear to the gym?
Yeah, and I think it is something that would be good to wear to the gym, because you don't want to wear a pair of £300 headphones.
Well, I know that now, right? Don't I? Don't tell me that after I've broken them.
So I think it's ideal for that. And it comes with by the way, the backs of the ears on it are made of wood. As far as I can tell, it's real wood. It's certainly, they're saying it's wood, looks like wood. And you get a spare pair of foam pads for it as well. So if you know the pads on the ear cups, you can replace those free of charge if you ever need to. So retro chic, remarkably good for the price point, combines modern technology with this sort of retro aesthetic. Yeah. I think it's really good. And I was thinking of it for Father's Day. Comes in a variety of colours, so you can have it in black if you want to, don't want to stand out, but it's got some amazing colours.
It's going to stand
out.
It is absolutely, it's like the trainers, it is absolutely retro.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it is. I'd like to hear the quality of them. Tadzi Turkamp is the gadget detective. He's good because he's lasted. He sounds a bit under par, but he's telling me he's at 100%. I'll give you 3.5 stars out of 4.5 today. I don't know, something different about
three
that voice.
3.5 out of 4, I'll take that.
There's something's going on. Right, we've got time for one more. We've got our retro headphones, and we've also sorted ourselves a proper CD player there that plays it as though it were nearly.
The
like
CD player is amazing. If you don't, by the way, if you don't want the DAC, there's a version of it called a DM13, which is about £100 cheaper, but I would go for the DAC if you can afford it. Right, last gadget is from QDOS. That's QDOS. It's a 9-in-1 USB-C hub. It's called the PowerLink Grand. I've liked this for a long time, but it used to be £79.99. Now it's currently £45.
Do they all work? I've tried a couple of... I've never bought the other one because it was 79 quid. But I bought a couple of substandard ones. And then you put them in and you try to put, the Ethernet in or whatever it might be, and it doesn't work the same one. Have you tested all sockets? You push something into all these holes?
Yeah, so the thing is, the QDOS brand is well recognized. You can buy similar or ostensibly similar things for about 20, but they're no name, and I wouldn't trust my data with those. It's remarkable to me that people will spend a grand on a laptop or something and then plug in something.
Don't judge me. It's my upbringing. Don't judge me. That's why you run the show.
I don't judge you. I just cry quietly in the corner. So this, I think, is especially at £45, is a good balance. So what is it? So this is something that plugs into a USB-C socket on your computer. You plug your charger into it. So even though you've used up one of the sockets, it's still charging. So you haven't lost a socket. That's the first thing. It gives you 9 other sockets. So 2 USB-C connectors that can deliver 100 watts of power. You need your own charger. 2 of the retro USB-A connectors, but they are the 3.0, so they'll work at 5 gigabits. An HDMI connector, which is good because it will support 4K. An audio jack. A lot of devices have lost the audio jack.
Oh, that's quite nice.
Yeah, 3.5mm audio jack. 2 card readers, a full-size SD card and a micro SD card reader, both running at 480 megabits per second. An Ethernet port, which we've discussed before. So many thin and light laptops no longer have Ethernet. So Ethernet is wired internet, wired networking.
It is
always better. So I'll give you an example, okay? Our technology didn't work today, so the way that I normally connect to you, we couldn't do. So I'm doing this on an Apple iPhone, but I'm not trusting it to Wi-Fi, so I've plugged in an adapter which is Ethernet.
Hold on. You've got one of the new phones, so it's out of the bottom with the USB-C into the Ethernet.
Into an adapter, and then it's got a standard Ethernet cable that goes straight into the router. So
I'm glad you're not a friend of mine. I'd be absolutely broke.
I thought we were friends.
Not that kind of friend. Not that. £45 from 79. I'm going to buy this.
4 stars out of 5. Yeah, it's available on the QDOS website. So just Google QDOS.
How do people find you, Fevzy?
GadgetDetective.com. Come and have a listen to the podcast.
God bless you. I'm going to listen next week, and that will determine whether or not we just say, let's leave it, Fevzy, or if I spend even more money that I don't have. This is BBC Radio London. Thanks, Fevzy!